Thank you, Jesus.
Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be turning this over to Shirley in just a minute here. I do want to mention it has been quite a week. It's been very busy, and sometimes you have a week where there's just a lot of things that hit you at once. And I know at our home, we've been really struggling lately with our cat, Oliver. We've been very worried about him as he's been sick for quite a while. And he's gone to the vet many times now. And they're getting to know my wife quite well over there. In fact, my niece actually applied for a job there. We've had to take him for many visits now, and he did have exploratory surgery on Monday, and of course they sedated him and they examined him closely. They had to put a tube down his throat and all of that, and they were really very concerned. They thought that he might have cancer, but after doing the exploratory surgery, they found that he has a collapsed lung, and there was a collapsed vocal cord, and there was some fluid in his lung as well. So they extracted the fluid, and they're going to have that tested to find out exactly what bacteria may have caused the infection, so they can target it with a very targeted antibiotic. So they're going to try to figure that out. But thank God there's no cancer, so hopefully he'll still be with us for a while. We're very happy about that. Now, on Sunday, after the service, I got in my car to drive home, and I noticed that when I turned the key to start the ignition, that all of the warning lights on my cluster, my instrument cluster, came on all at once, and my speedometer wasn't working, and everything just kind of stopped. But I noticed that I could still drive the car. So I drove it home, and then the next day I thought, well, I'm going to try to change the fuse for the cluster, see if that fixes it. And I had to drive all over town. Well, my wife had to drive me around because we were using her car to try to find a fuse that would fit. And I went to Walmart, I went to Menards, I went to AutoZone, I went to O'Reilly's Auto Part, and finally I found one at Napa, but after changing the fuse, it still didn't work, so I had to take my car into the dealership today, and they're still working on it. But the guy did call me, and he said that I can come in tomorrow and pick up a loaner if I need to, because they have to actually order a new speedometer for it. He's saying there's some electrical problems with it, so they have to redo a lot of the wiring, and he didn't have a speedometer. So he's ordering that, but in the meantime, I can go pick up a loaner tomorrow. I'm going to do that, and hopefully they'll get my car all fixed up and patched up. If you'd like to pray about that, I'd appreciate it. But it's just been a lot of things all at once, and of course we've also been dealing with the loss of Doug. I know that's been really, you feel the void, you know. We miss him, and he was always, you know, he was pretty quiet most of the time, but he always made his presence felt, and he loved being here. I know that for sure. This was one of his favorite places to be, and he always got here so early on Sunday mornings, and he was always one of the last people to leave, so I know he really loved it here, and we do miss him. Now, the service for him is on Friday, and I don't know exactly what that's going to entail, because we have not been involved with the planning at all. We weren't asked to do anything, which it feels kind of strange, because I've been Doug's pastor for 15 years, and I know that he would have wanted me to do the service for him, but I wasn't asked by the family, so... But I don't know if they're going to ask people to share any words. If they do, I'll get up and say something. But we'll see how that goes. But keep that in prayer as well regarding the service on Friday. And we certainly do miss Doug. But I know that he's much happier where he is right now. And I think about how we prayed for him for all those years. We prayed for him almost every Sunday, I think, for probably the last 4 years at least. And he had that chronic pain, and he had a lot of issues that he dealt with. And I'm sure he's very happy to not have that pain anymore. Praise God. But we certainly do miss him down here. And We look forward to the day when we get to see him again. Praise God.
Awesome.
All right, we're going to have Shirley come up, and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. He is so good. And I know I didn't get to talk to Brother Samuel prior to the service, but I did have a conversation with Doug's sister Barb yesterday. And you know, that was rather interesting. What they plan to have on Friday is what they call a celebration of his life, and I think it's just going to be like an open house. I know she was gathering pictures and so on to put together, and I don't think there's anything formal, as far as I know, concerning that occasion. But anyway, we'll be there and let the Lord use us as He will. And very thankful for Doug's life. I know his sister Barb shared with me that the day that Doug was baptized, he had told her it was the happiest day of his life. Praise the Lord. And she had to acknowledge that he loved being here. He just loved being here, and he talked about it, you know. And I thank God, you know, that was a witness to her. And she did come the day he was baptized. And I don't know, I just pray that God would talk to her too. I know he's got brothers. He's got nieces and nephews, and you know, I don't know just, you know, what all the Lord will do, but we sure do trust him, and oh, we want to put this all into God's hands. You know, it was a week ago today, on the 10th, that he died, is what they are saying. They took the feeding tube out, from what she explained, on Tuesday, and I believe he lived, I think she said 16 hours after that, and then he succumbed, but she was with him at that point. And you know, I know, you know, the troubles and trials of this world, they can really be something. But you know, there was something else. You know, Brother Samuel, we've had those occasions where we anointed people with oil and so on, and we certainly had prayed for Doug many times. And anyway, I you know, many of us noticed that the last months he just seemed to be healthier. I mean, he didn't seem like he was always talking about his ailments and not sleeping and all those kind of things. And we still were praying for him, and he appreciated it so very much. But his sister said, you know, I mentioned, you know, I thought maybe he had neuropathy. And what she told me, she said, well, Doug had told her that Jesus healed him. And you know, I just thought, wow, that is really beautiful. You know, and I wish he would have maybe been a little more vocal, because you know, it did certainly seem like the Lord had touched him in many ways. I mean, again, it was different. Those earlier years, many times after service or maybe after we'd had some fellowship downstairs, he would want special prayer. And you know, he hadn't been asking for that for several months. And you know, again, you know, I didn't quite know. I remember some of you just, you know, seeing Doug after a few months and saying he looks so much better and things like that. But praise the Lord. You know, I just thank God that, oh, we can trust our God and put these things into his hands, and you know, he is faithful. That is so proven and so true, you know, and he, you know, he knows how to help us through all these ordeals of life. So truly, we are so blessed to know the Lord and to have this fellowship one with another, and certainly most of all with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he's a gracious, wonderful God. And thank the Lord, we can start praising him now, and it's not going to end. I'm certain we'll be praising and worshiping him throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord. So very, very grateful that he called us and he made himself known to us, and that we were able to respond to the glorious gospel. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodnesses to us. Oh, your great mercies. Oh, Lord, your compassions that fail not. Oh, Lord, the one that gives us strength from day to day, Lord. Oh, God, truly, what could we do without you, Lord? Our strength comes from thee, Lord. Oh, God, you are the one that inspires us. You are the one that gives us words. Oh, God, you are the one that fights our battles for us. Oh, God, we are so dependent upon thee, Lord. Oh, God, we know we can do nothing without you, Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you'd be here tonight, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. You know every situation, every scenario, Lord. You know every battle. And oh God, I pray that you would be here, Lord. Oh God, to help us, Lord, to encourage us, to strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, to help us to look to thee. Oh God, with greater faith and, oh Lord, with greater confidence in thee, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we'd ever be mindful of the great and terrible day of the Lord that is ahead. Oh, that moment when you come forth, when you come back, Lord. Oh, Lord. And God, as we speak of it, as we talk of it, oh, Lord, let it become real to us, oh, Lord. That, oh, God, our hearts would be made right. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, that our spirits would be made right, Jesus. Oh, God, that you would help us, Lord. For, oh, God, oh, Lord, we're pilgrims, strangers. Oh, God, we have that tendency to forget and, oh, Lord, to get in trouble. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help us to walk that straight and narrow way. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be faithful even unto the end, oh, Lord. Oh, yes, oh, Lord, you know how to do it. You know how to work in us. Oh, Lord, you are the one that is faithful. And, oh, Lord, you know how to succor us and how to help us, how to aid us, how to give us that strength that we need, how to deliver us, how to heal us. Oh, God, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And we put our strength, our confidence, our hope in you, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that you be here, Lord. Give me the words, the ability, the authority, and the anointing that I need from thee, Lord. Oh, God, for I could not do this on my own. I know I need you, Jesus, and I pray that you would be here in Jesus' name. Oh, God, talk to us. Talk to us, Lord. Talk to us. Help us to get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, in your precious name, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. I've decided to go into 2 Thessalonians here. So, Lord willing, we'll be going into the first chapter of that epistle. And I don't know when it was written exactly because I couldn't seem to find that kind of info. But praise the Lord, you know, I know as we've discussed before, Paul had had a short time there at Thessalonica, and praise the Lord, in the course of that missionary journey there, he saw many converted there in that place called Thessalonica, the largest city there in Macedonia. And praise the Lord in that very short time. And you know, that's pretty amazing to think about. Because, you know, we just, you know, sometimes we think it has to take a certain period of time and, you know, and all this is and that's. But God can do a very short work in a short time. And, oh my, praise the Lord. Didn't expect to say this, but you know, I'm just remembering years ago. There, I was yet in Eau Claire, and actually a college student at that point, and I had been led of the Lord to start a campus ministry. And we had a meeting place, and we had a room where us girls that were part of the church, the local church in Eau Claire, would meet. And we were, you know, we had a bulletin board where we could announce our activities. And anyway, this one weekday, here it is, myself, Marianne, and Rhonda, I believe we all came into the room there to pray together. And on the way up, there was a young couple sitting, and, you know, we greeted them and, you know, had no idea why they were sitting there, but, you know, went up into the room and, you know, prayed and talked to the Lord and came out, and wow, this young couple was still sitting there. So we were able to talk to them, and they said, did we have a meeting? And so on, and you know, they were wondering, and lo and behold, they had seen our bulletin board and realized that we were meeting. And, you know, they actually had been there to join us. Well, praise the Lord, that wasn't the end of things, because we talked to them and they were eager to come to church. And oh my, that was such a time. We'd had a church split. And anyway, several of us, like maybe 10 families, were meeting together in a rented church. It was a little country church. It had been a Lutheran church in its day, but you know, we were using it and just letting the Lord work. And anyway, things began to change because this young couple, Gary and Jean McKibben, they came to church. Came to that little country church where we are gathered, and praise the Lord, you know, they were hungry. They were searching. They were like a hippie couple, I would say, and yet, you know, you can't tell, you know, when you look at people always, just what's inside, but here they were, you know, and the Lord dealt with them. And praise the Lord, pretty soon, yes, it didn't take long, they repented of their sins, were baptized in the good old cow tank we had in that building in the name of the Lord Jesus. And yes, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, you know, the Lord began to work because Gary and Jean were so excited. And they began to tell all their family members and all their friends. And pretty soon they were bringing, you know, brother and sister and mother and all their friends to church. And praise the Lord began to move. The Lord began to convince them of sin, those that came, and pretty soon, oh my, we were baptizing a lot of them. And yes, oh, we were gathering around this little front of the old Lutheran church, and strange as it was to us, but the Lord was filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And oh, there were lives changed. These people began to change. And it was a glorious time. I know the girls, you know, they got convicted about their slacks, and they took their slacks, and they were the wider legs at that point, and they made skirts of them, and you know, and just all the other changes that are so necessary when we come to the Lord began to be a reality in their lives. And praise the Lord, it was beautiful, you know, and it just shows, you know. I know I've been concerned about a little church. We had split off from the church I'd gone to all the days of my previous life, pretty much, except for Texas for 6 months. But anyway, I thought, wow, you know, we've gone through this discouraging time, you know, when everything got really wrong and things, you know, didn't hit right, and we had to just get a new group together and all these different things, and I thought, wow, we're kind of discouraged, but you know, the Lord began to work, and wow, and that encouraged everybody. It revived us. It made us whole, and you know, it was amazing, you know, just a short time, and everything changed. And oh yes, the Lord began to pour out of his Spirit, and oh yes, there were all kinds of wonderful works that the Lord did for our little group, praise the Lord. Pretty soon, we weren't so little anymore, and you know, not too long after that, you know, a new church was built in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, that still stands today. Praise the Lord. But I said all that because, you know, I was just recalling the church at Thessalonica. Paul didn't have a lot of time initially to work with them. And so we see this desire in these two epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, where Paul is trying to, you know, insert, you know, as much as he can to, you know, feed them spiritually. You know, he wanted to be with them in that first epistle, and he couldn't do it at that point, and so he had sent Timothy to, you know, check them out and see how they were doing, and praise God, he came back with a good report, and oh my, praise the Lord. But you could just, you know, understand a little bit how Paul, he wanted to impart, he wanted to share, he wanted this church to grow. And, you know, when you come to the Lord out of, well, this was a Gentile church that was heathen, and I mean, things aren't all that different these days. In reality, I believe this country, this world is getting more and more heathen all the time. So, you know, there's a lot that needs to be taught, you know, for discipleship, for instructions. And, you know, this was a huge part of what Paul had on his heart. So, you know, because of that, we have these two beautiful epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Praise the Lord. And having said all that, let's go to 2nd Thessalonians and see how the Lord might lead us here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. He knows what we have need of. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's look at this. So I guess, you know, we can continue with they turned the world upside down, because there, you know, 17th chapter of Acts, it's an amazing thing. You know, this new group of people, this new group of believers, what they did for the Lord with all their zeal, with all their faith. Oh, it was so remarkable that the outsiders remarked, and you know, well, there were complaints, there was persecution. Yes, and that started early too, and that was a big focus there in 1 Thessalonians. And yes, here we're going to read it again in this chapter. You know, that indeed was a part of it. But the Lord was using it, and yes, using it to actually help these people grow, and it's a wonderful thing. The Lord knows how to help us through all our trials and through all our difficulties. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. It says, Paul and Silvanus, and of course Silvanus is Silas, the other evangelist that Paul was traveling with, or we could call him a missionary. Amen. And Timotheus, and of course that's Timothy, and also at together, all three of them at this point, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So yes, he goes on, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or in other words, as it is appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Wow, I read that third verse and I thought, wow, that's wonderful. Those are beautiful compliments. Praise the Lord. Yes, yeah, so they felt bound, or you know, it felt it very necessary to thank God always for them, and considered it very appropriate to make mention, because their faith groweth exceedingly, it says here. And that's a beautiful thing. We know that when we come to the Lord, we must have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, as we're told in Hebrews 11, chapter verse 6. So you've got to have faith to begin your walk with the Lord, even to believe that he is. And then that's, first of all, you know, there has to be that understanding that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, yes, the Son of God, the Anointed One, amen. So here it is, this beautiful compliment that their faith was growing exceedingly. I was thinking about faith just a little bit, you know. Jesus compared to faith as, a mustard seed. Tiny little mustard seed. And, you know, oh boy, they're so small that you could put many just on your thumb. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing when, you know, that faith that we must have in order to come to the Lord, it needs to grow. It needs to grow. If it doesn't grow, you know, we're going to go awry. And that needs to be a part of our walk with the Lord, a growing faith. Praise the Lord. So how do we water that faith? How do we make it to grow? Well, you know, it's pretty amazing. The more you use faith, it's kind of like a muscle, you know, the more it's going to grow. It's going to develop. It's going to get stronger. And, you know, you don't want to put the brakes on, you know, get to this little point and say, okay, that's enough. Mm-mm. No, there's always more and more faith that we need in our walk with the Lord. And yes, it needs to be exercised. It needs to be expressed. Amen. And we need to let it grow. And oh my, yes, that it would grow exceedingly. Oh yes. Oh, bountifully, you know, significantly, praise the Lord, as it did for this church at Thessalonica. And then, oh yeah, another thing is mentioned here, their charity. The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. In other words, it was thriving, you know? And thank the Lord, you know, charity is such a needful thing. Amen. And Jesus talked about it. Of course, when we talk about charity, we're talking about agape love. A love that gives and doesn't expect anything in return. In other words, a very unselfish love. And, you know, it's needful if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He does expect us to certainly love God foremost. But, oh, yes, there is a very great need that is also very much emphasized, that we must love one another. Amen. So it's told us, the 13th chapter of John, Jesus said, John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And then, oh, there's a beautiful connection here. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Oh my, it's so great. And I would say rare, because, you know, if we have a genuine love one for another, it's going to shine in such a way that the others, those that are without, are going to recognize that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's pretty amazing in my opinion. Praise the Lord. And then if we turn to John, the 15th chapter, we can read a little bit more. It tells us in John chapter 15, and I'm going to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, So shall ye be my disciples? And just stopping with that thought for a moment, Jesus was very concerned that not only that we, you know, come to him in faith and believe and repent and all those things, but, you know, we need to stay rooted, grounded in the vine, abiding in Jesus Christ, because we need to bear fruit. And oh, yes, so here it is, and I believe that also was certainly a concern of Paul for that church at Thessalonica. He wanted them, oh yes, to abound in the good things of God, oh yes, to shine, and of course, to bear much fruit. So it's told us, verse 8 again here in John the 15th chapter, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so, yes, you know, the need to keep the ways of the Lord, to keep his commandments, it's very showing. And, you know, if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. That's as simple as it is. You know, that's the truth of it. And then verse 11 tells us, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we want to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we want to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Oh, yes, we want to be a fruitful vine. And oh, yes, you know, embedded in that rock, Christ Jesus. And oh, yes, his joy to be a characteristic of our life. So yes, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Praise the Lord. Oh, that abundant life in Christ Jesus. Amen. The 12th chapter of the book of John, verse 10, I think it is. Oh my, so let's go on here. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then it's told us in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, it was Jesus that showed the greatest love that we could ever imagine when he laid down his life for his people, for his friends. Oh, praise the Lord. He didn't have to do it. You know, he didn't have to do it. But, oh, yes, he came into the world with that desire. Amen. Oh, yes, knowing that that was the will of his Father. And, yes, in so doing, he would seek and save those that were lost. Praise the Lord. He would buy us. He would redeem us. He would make a way of escape for us. Oh my, so that we could be his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, he said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Oh, praise the Lord. And thank you for that life that he lived, that he laid down that life for his friends, even you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there's one more scripture I kind of want to go to at the moment in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and I'm going to chapter 4. And it's verse 8. And verse 8 reads, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Again, you see, it's so emphasized in all the epistles. And here it's Peter saying it in verse 8 here in his epistle, his first epistle. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And then he says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And that's kind of an amazing statement, and, you know, kind of confusing maybe in a way, but it just seems to me if we had that genuine love for one another that, you know, we'll overlook some of the little incidentals and some of the other things that, you know, creep in and try to distract and hinder and cause division and all kinds of problems. Yes, if we could have that fervent charity. And he says, above all things, among ourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude or the host of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. That's quite a thought. Amen. Oh, yes, that if that love one for another is evident, well, not only are they going to know that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, but, oh my, it's going to cover a multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. And you know, I don't know all the ways that works, but oh my, I just think that, you know, that willingness to love one another and to share and you know, to forgive one another and to forget all those little things that try to creep in at times, giving people the benefit of the doubt, you know, it all works to cover, I believe, that multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, yes. Little thoughts of the Lord shared with me. Praise the Lord there. So he goes on here in this chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And again, we know, yeah, almost right off the bat, they were persecuted, and you know, Paul had to get out of there. Paul and Silas, they had to get out of there. They had to go to Berea, you know, quickly, because, yes, the unbelieving Jews rose up and you know, were ready to kill them, ready to stone them, I believe. And so they had to go to Berea, to flee to the next city, as Jesus had also instructed. And you know, it ended up that they had to flee in Berea too. But you know, anyway, persecution had become a way of life to this young church. But praise the Lord was using it. And it was, you know, growing them in the Lord in reality. And it's a beautiful thing. No one likes to go through it, oh, that's for sure. You know, it can be pretty heavy when somebody is, you know, yelling at you and it's like off with your head. You know, I experienced that just a little bit a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago now, I guess, you know, at the co-op when somebody didn't like the track that I offered him, and, you know, he was very, very mad at me. And yeah, ordered me to get out, and all that kind of thing, but he was mad. And you know, you could just kind of feel that spirit when they don't like you and they want to get rid of you, you know, they're ready to pick up a stone. Oh my. So this church was being commended because they got through those things. Oh yes, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Well, it's true. I remember reading, oh boy, I think Romans the 5th chapter, that tribulations work patience, and patience experience, and experience that hope that maketh not ashamed. Hope, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So there's a reason for all of this, and they were enduring it. You know, I saw this neat little verse here in Isaiah 48, verse 10 today, and it just reads, Isaiah 48, verse 10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, wow. Interesting, I thought. Yeah. God saying that. Oh, yes. And that persecution, that trouble, that trial detail, you know, it's part of our refinement. And yes, praise the Lord, and not with silver, but oh yes, it's written in Isaiah 48, verse 10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, interesting, isn't it? And then going back to 1 Peter, there's some scripture that I think we need to hear and share together. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the first chapter, 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful chapter indeed. I'm going to start with verse 3, actually. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, there's so many things, oh, to look forward to, so many blessings way beyond that which we can imagine. But even this description of that which God has reserved for us, that inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, it will not fade away. And praise the Lord, it's reserved in heaven for you. Oh, that's beautiful. What a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, to find out after the struggles of this old world, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise the Lord. He knows how to keep us in this world. Amen. Praise the Lord through that faith which he puts in our hearts that needs to keep growing. Oh, yes. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then he says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, you know, through those struggles, through testing. Testing could be another word for temptations here. And you know, it's not easy to go through these things. And oh boy, but yet he's encouraging his people to rejoice despite, you know, you might go through that period of time when it's heavy, when it's hard, when it's difficult, and you realize, you know, you're going through all that, all those trials, all those, you know, testing periods. And then it's explained in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, oh, this is what it amounts to. Oh, this is something else. There's such a value in our tribulations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, that moment that matters more than any other moment that will ever endure or go before or, you know. That moment when we stand before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, yes, and oh, that's it. You know, all these hard things, these trials, this period of testing or whatever all we're going through, it's rated as more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, oh, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Whom have ye not seen, ye love? In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. amen. Oh, my. Yes, Jesus told us to rejoice in tribulation, didn't he? Oh, he made a big point of that too, didn't he? His Sermon on the Mount there, that was certainly a point of emphasis there. Fifth chapter of Matthew. He said, Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there is a reason for all of this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's good to bear fruit. Oh, those trials, those tribulations, if we stand true. Oh, yes, and keep looking to Jesus and let that faith grow. Praise the Lord. And then it's explained here in verse 5, oh, these persecutions and tribulations, what are they? It says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, it's to be expected. You know, it's a token, you know, just something that, you know, makes it clear of our status even with the Lord. You know, it just all brings it out, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it is a race that must be won. Amen. You were going to have to overcome in order to make it through this world. Yes, it's going to be a fight. Yes, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, as Paul encouraged Timothy. Amen. Yes, there's a need here. Amen. And there's a reason for all of this. Praise the Lord. And yes, if we go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, it tells us here, I guess going to verse 6 again, tells us here, 2 Timothy 2, verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Oh, yes, you know, Paul in prison, suffering trouble, oh, like he was an evildoer. But no, it wasn't because he had done wickedly. It was because he was suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. So he's saying in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. Oh, the reason, yes, enduring all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Oh, praise the Lord, and we die out to the old man. We die out to sin. But praise the Lord, there is a benefit to that dying out to the flesh, to the world. Oh, yes, to our ambitions and our thoughts and all that ugly, all the ugly things that are part of our old man, our old life. Yes, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that suffering. If we suffer with him, it says we shall also reign with him. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, there's a beautiful end to all of this. Goes on to tell us here in 2 Thessalonians verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And of course, we know that it's been declared, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And oh yes, we may endure hardships, we may go through trials, we may be persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ, but it's all going to turn around one of these days. Oh yes, it tells us in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh yes, when everything turns around. And oh yes, you know, the other shoe falls. And all at once, those that persecuted us hated the Lord, really, because if you know, it's really not us, it's the Lord Jesus that they hate. And therefore, because we are his disciples, oh my, that they get so angry and upset. And you know, you can just feel that at times. It's, you know, the devils that are in these people that cause them to be so stirred up and get violent and want to cast that stone and, you know, get rid of you and all those other things that come into their hearts. Yes, because they hate the Lord. But oh my, it's all going to turn around.
Amen.
And oh yes, Paul is also reminding the church at the Hebrew people that he's writing to in this epistle too, to remember all of that, what they endured. Oh yes, verse 32 here in this 10th chapter of Hebrews. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, in other words, brought to the light of Jesus Christ, his wonderful salvation, when our eyes were opened, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Oh, praise the Lord, the hope that is within us, that inheritance. Oh, yes, that the Lord has reserved for his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, the beauty of it all. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So then, he's going on here in 2 Thessalonians to talk to this church, to encourage them. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, talking about everything reversing and changing. Oh my, it's going to be, yes, it's going to be a terrible, dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh yes, as he comes to this world in his wrath. Oh yes, that cup. Oh yes, so overflowing with the sins, the iniquities of this old world. Oh my, and oh yes, how it's gone forth and overflowed, and oh yes, there's no more room. And so our God comes back, oh yes, but this time, oh, bringing the vengeance that is needed, oh, the recompenses that are needed for his people. And yes, here it is for those that have not listened, those that did not turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus, those that ridiculed, that mocked, that scorned, that persecuted, oh my, that had all manner of ugly things to say about the children of God. And oh my, you could just see things getting a little more tense in this world with all that's happening right now, you know, some of the comments made about Charlie Kirk, and you know, you could kind of see, you know, people saying those ugly things, you know, they hate God and, you know, despise those that are willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus. But oh my, here he comes. When he's revealed from heaven, oh yes. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God we heard the glorious gospel. Oh, praise the Lord that we were able, oh, to grasp it and to, oh, believe it. That testimony, yes. Oh, thank God that we are able to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because that day is coming. It is coming soon. Oh, he's coming. Oh, yes, we know, as it's described. Oh, in that fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, praise the Lord. That day is coming. Oh, yes, of course, Peter wrote about it. Oh, yes, you know, he described it vividly. That's for sure. If we go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, you know, he warned in that third chapter that there were going to come mockers, there were going to come scoffers that walked after their own lusts. And, you know, they're just, you know, mocking away at the believers in Jesus Christ, the Christians, you know, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Hey, you've been talking about that for a long time, and he still hasn't come. Oh, yes, the mockers and the scoffers and people that want to put it way off. And saying, yes, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But oh my, you know, that's ignorance. Oh yes, and that's not going to be a good thing when that moment actually happens. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. You know, those people that lived in Noah's days, they were not expecting the flood. Oh my, you know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Yes, we know that he had warned them. He had told them what God had told him and ordered him to do. But they were mocking, they were scorning. They thought he was a foolish old man, you know, building this gigantic ark. And oh yes, calling all the animals together, gathering food and all the provisions that were needed. But oh yes, Noah had faith in God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And oh yes, he was doing it because he believed what God had told him. While the others stood aside and laughed and mocked. Oh, and ridiculed. And oh yes, did every kind of funny thing they could to try to persecute. But oh, it wasn't so funny when those waters began to fall, when the rains began to fall, those clouds gave forth water, and it began to fall on the earth, something that had never happened before at that time. It wasn't so funny then. And you can imagine how they tried to get into the ark. Oh, they must have pounded on the door. They must have tried so hard, oh yes, to get inside. But you know what? God had shut that door of the ark. He had shut it, and there was no way that it could be opened. Oh, what does that tell us? You know, right now the door of salvation is opened, and we can come to the Lord Jesus. We can turn from our sins and repentance. We can give our lives to Jesus Christ. We have a little time. The door is still open. Oh, yes, we can believe the gospel, and we can go forth and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And yes, our God is still pouring out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, that door is still open, and there still is a little time, and we can come to Jesus Christ yet. But oh my, it won't be funny when that door closes. Oh, when all at once, oh, there's that realization that, oh my, he's coming. What they were talking about really is happening, you know, and oh my, what would they have done to make themselves ready? All at once, oh my, they're looking for some kind of escape. Oh my, you know, they see it happening. Oh yeah, as it's described several places in the Bible, including Revelation 6, where it talks about the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty man, and every bondman and every free man trying to hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Somehow that understanding comes forth. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And oh, here we are. He's coming with vengeance. He's coming to judge. And oh my, we're not ready. We're not prepared. Oh yes, and oh, they say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, for all at once that understanding is there, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, the word declares it. Oh, yes, and I believe it. I know it. Oh, what God has said is going to happen. It's going to come to pass. Amen. Oh, yes. So it tells us in Second Peter, the third chapter. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perish. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. And this world is just hanging on the word of God. You know, it's rotating because God put it in rotation, amen. But, you know, it's here until that judgment day. Oh, yes, for the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Amen. Oh, but Peter writes, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, in 1,000 years as one day. You know, it says 2 days ago that Jesus Christ walked this earth. He lives in eternity, amen. And yes, he's coming soon. He is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, yes, and then, oh, Peter gives this description of the day of the Lord. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Oh, so it will be. Oh, so it will be. And oh, yes, oh, the realization is this is all beginning to come to pass. And oh yes, oh, they can sense the anger of the Lord, how he comes, and oh, his furious wrath, oh yes, to bring forth vengeance. Oh yes, oh yes, to turn around all their evil deeds, oh, with his righteous judgment. Oh my. And so we're told here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness. Oh, yes, we know this to be true. We know this is going to be a reality. We know he's coming as a thief in the night. Oh, it's not going to be announced. It's not going to be in the papers that he's coming at a certain time. It's not going to be announced over the radio, over the television. It's not going to be on the internet. Oh, no, but all at once he's going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. And it's going to be the day of the Lord. And oh, he's going to bring forth his judgment. Oh, yes, as it comes, oh, the culmination of all of this. And, oh, seeing that we know these things, oh, yes. Oh, hey, Peter's writing, oh, yes, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oh, yes, this should be, oh, foremost here, you know, in our brains, realizing, oh, yes, as we are so instructed to watch for this day, be prepared, you know, have your garment, oh, the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteous garment that he gives us, oh, be clothed with it. Amen. Let your lamps be trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, yes, he's coming in a day when many think not. Oh, yes, when many will not be aware. He'll be like the days of Noah when, oh, yes, they were just living their lives and doing their things and, oh, just not thinking, oh, my, that suddenly it was going to come to, you know, the clouds were going to burst and then there was going to be rain falling from the sky and all at once, oh, my, they were going to be flooded out. They were going to be destroyed. They were going to die in those waters. Oh my, they weren't looking for that. They weren't believing it. Oh my, but oh my, it happened. It happened, right? It happened. And so it is this day of the Lord. Oh, and so many of the prophets proclaimed it. And oh, there's so many descriptions, even in the Old Testament. Oh my, so many words of advice and admonishment. Oh, to help us to know that we need to prepare, that we need to get right, that we must be ready. So looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So praise the Lord. Oh, this sin state is going to be over. Oh, the vexation of it, all the trials of it, all the persecutions of it, all the pain, all the suffering, it's going to be over. One of these moments, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And yes, we as his people, we know in our hearts, oh, this is what we are looking for. We are looking for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, this sin state over. Oh, yes, to no longer be in front of us. Oh, my. Oh, those trials and, oh, times of testing completely in the past. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're told, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. Oh, yes, we want to keep this, oh, on the forefront of our minds. Oh, yes, oh, we're looking for such things and, oh, the need to be diligent, to put our very best effort forth that we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness. No, that would never get us into heaven. Oh, but to be found in him in peace with his righteousness, without spot and blameless. Oh, praise the Lord, without sin. Oh, praise the Lord, because we gave it over to Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he made a way of escape. So, yes, we didn't have to fall into condemnation. Oh, Mob, we didn't have to fall into this horrendous state. Oh, yes, when he comes and all at once the Lord Jesus returns, revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Oh, we never want to be in those shoes. Oh, how horrible. Oh, how horrible to be in that eternal darkness. Oh, yes, oh, far from the presence of the Lord. Oh, that gloomy, horrendous, deep darkness. Oh, my, that doesn't go away. Oh, far from the presence of the Lord and far from the glory of his power. Oh, my. No, thank God for the way of escape. Thank God for the door of salvation that is still opened. Oh, praise the Lord, for we know he's coming. Oh, yes, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, this chapter ends, verse 11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. I can understand why Paul was so, you know, concerned that his people, those that he had brought to the Lord Jesus, would be fruitful and grow, and yes, that they would be able to fulfill their course, their calling, and yes, to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Without sin, oh yes, without blame, without guilt, oh praise the Lord, and yeah. Oh, praise the Lord, that's our desire, is it not? Amen, that's our goal, yes, that's why we're striving, that's why we endure strong afflictions as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh my, that's why, yes, we're willing to endure unto the end, and that's why we fight this good fight of faith, yes. Praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, amen. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus and stand before him and hear him say, well done. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to stand. Oh, Lord, I pray that, oh, God, we would pass the tests. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that we'd get through this world, that we would overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Oh, God, give us that determination. Give us that faith. Oh, give us that ability to withstand. Oh, yes, every trial, every hard thing that the world might put upon us, Lord. Oh, God, that we might, oh, Lord, be able to stand that. Oh, Lord, and stand before you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 32 and sing He's Coming Soon, number 32.
Is the closing day.
You all be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.